is not a test. This is your emergency broadcast system announcing the commencement of the annual purge sanctioned by the U.S. government. Weapons of Class 4 and lower have been authorized for use during the purge. All other weapons are restricted. Government officials of ranking 10 have been granted immunity from the purge and shall not be harmed. Commencing at the siren, any and all crime, including murder, will be legal for 12 continuous hours. Police, fire, and emergency medical services will be unavailable until tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. when the purge concludes. Blessed be our new founding fathers and America, a nation reborn. May God be with you all.
Hey guys, Editing Sydney here. When we recorded this episode, we hadn't gotten the results of the election. And when we post this episode, we do know the results and that Joe Biden is our next president. So while we are very anxious in this recording, there shouldn't be any purge-like activities in our near future. And so we just wanted to say thank God. Hey guys, welcome back to Spooky Tuesday. I'm Sydney Thompson.
I'm Monica Height.
And I'm Chelsea Duff.
Okay, we are 3 days into the election as we record this.
Oh, it's Thursday. And we don't know.
Nobody knows. And so we decided that we hated ourselves and our mental health was already bad enough. So let's just pile on. And we're going to talk about 2013's The Purge.
You know, before we started watching this movie, I was telling somebody that we were going to watch it yesterday night, Wednesday night. And I was like, you know, I think we thought we were being ironic and fun when we decided to do this for the week after Election Day. Once I was actually watching it, I was like, this was a mistake, like a really big one.
Absolutely,
especially
huge.
Because they filmed it in an area of Los Angeles called Chatsworth, if you're not familiar. It's like a little bit of a Republican enclave in Chatsworth. It's like horse country, the western area of Chatsworth. You can't really tell that in the movie, but it is where I grew up. And so it hit a little close to home, recognizing all of the mountains and stuff in the background. You know, I was just like, okay, I'm not in Chatsworth right now, but to be the day after the election watching a movie filmed in my hometown about shit just hitting the fan, like, wish I wasn't doing this.
Oh,
wish
yeah.
I was doing anything else.
And then adding on to that, the kid who plays Charlie is this actor named Max Burkholder, and he went to our high school. So I was like, okay, so I know him, and it's in Chelsea's neighborhood.
They're like wearing the same kind of uniforms we had to wear at our high school.
Exactly the same.
They're now pretending like they went to our high school.
Was your high school uniform that slutty? Because my high school uniform at the all-girls Catholic school was not, and I'm kind of mad about it.
You know, we played fast and loose with the rules. It was not like a only buy things at Dickies kind of uniform. It was like something that is khaki or a plaid skirt of varying length. And so, you know, you could get away with a lot if you were creative and pulled your skirt down when you walked past a teacher.
Yeah, if you just knew, like, what teachers to be on guard around, then you could for sure get away with slutting up your outfit like that.
100%. Yeah, so this is truly, like, hindsight is 2020, but we made our first, like, three-week schedule, like, in the end of September. And we've not edited it since. And you know what? Let's take a look at what we have coming up in the coming weeks to make sure we're not going to hurt ourselves again, because this was a terrible experience. Adam, my boyfriend, was so upset. He was watching it for like 5 minutes at the beginning, and he's like, what the fuck is this? And I was like, it's The Purge, you know, a great classic film. And he was like, just like biting his nails, like visibly uncomfortable. And then he left before anything even started. He came back for the end, and he was like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. Goodbye. So
I think
putting my relationship on the rocks, it's not good.
The first thing that made me uncomfortable about this movie was the fact that it is set in 2022, which is just
too soon.
I know this movie came out in 2013, and so while 2022 and 2013 was like close, but still in the distance, it was like, oh, whatever, it's fine. Oh, it is too soon now in almost 2021.
It's too close.
And just as soon as it said 2022 on the screen, I think we all recoiled a little.
I know. And then they like show clips of like The Purge, and Chelsea was saying like, oh, it's from like 2016, blah, 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 blah. And right when she said that, I was like, no, this clip says 2020. And it was like violence in the streets. And I was like, I was so scared.
But it was from March 2020, after everybody went into lockdown. Literally like a week after the state of emergency was declared in California. So I just got to say, like, I did not see any masks. Feels like they were not purging very responsibly. No, but it also seemed like it was only the third purge. And Sydney, I know that you said the purge started in 2018. And I was a little confused reading the Wikipedia. It seems like the first clip, in the beginning of the movie, they showed like a montage of clips from past purges. The first date that I noticed was 2017, but then I know the Purge election year or whatever establishes that the new Founding Fathers were elected in 2014.
So they have a different election cycle in this universe.
Well, are they in the Senate is the question. Oh. If they're the Founding Fathers, there's more than just one president, you know?
That's true. You're not wrong.
The fourth movie, which is the prequel to this movie, came out in 2018.
Okay.
So, it's definitely set way before 2000. And I'm going to assume The Purge was set in 2020. Just my guesstimate of a timeline was it probably happened in the 2012 election. Is when it happened. That's just my guess.
This is the cursed timeline. This is the worst timeline, the worst alternative universe. That's probably not true, but it's pretty bad.
Okay, so basically, Obama was never elected a second term, and we got this instead. We got
people who...
Or he was elected a second term, and the new Founding Fathers were reactionary to Obama winning a second term, and... You know, doesn't that feel a little close to home?
Are the new Founding Fathers the Tea Party?
I know that they are.
You know that they are.
But the Tea Party started way earlier. So this is like the second wave of the Tea Party when they were like, what if we just straight up killed people instead of enacting policies that let people die? Anyway, not to get too deep into that.
But we're going to have to be so careful not to go true doomsday during this episode.
Is the thing. No promises. But Wikipedia says that the new Founding Fathers of America were voted into office in 2014. They could be congressmen, they could be senators, they could be both, they could be local politicians, I don't know. But clearly they had some kind of monopoly on the party and they got the ball rolling. And they've got to be in the Senate if that's when they passed the law that sanctions an annual purge. But here's the thing. If they didn't show us the clips until one from 2017, I don't know if I don't want to get too deep into how elections work or whatever, but they're nominated, elected, whatever, November 2014, take office sometime in 2015. Maybe it takes them a while to draft their purge legislation. I don't know.
I would hope it took them like at least like 2 years to convince people this was a good idea. Like, I really hope that they weren't like, here's a law about murking everyone as just to get all your angst out, and that's fine.
They don't need to convince people it's a good idea if they control the Senate and something else strongly enough. You know what I mean? Like, they don't have to run on putting a purge into place. They just have to win their position and then be like, actually, we have this thing we'd like to do now. Anyway. So it's now 2022. Apparently, by 2021, they were like, the purge is so successful, There's only 1% unemployment and there's no crime and the economy is doing amazing, which
booming
doesn't make sense. And I am no economist. I did want to do research on if the purge would actually be good for the economy theoretically. I only Googled
Chelsea's
it.
Chelsea's considering it.
I just wanted to see because it seemed like it.
Take a look.
It seemed like it didn't make any sense. And then I was like,
it doesn't.
Could this make sense? Like, obviously you shouldn't do it either way, but like, is there at least a logical basis for this? Because it seems like if you just kill all the poor people, you would just be like creating a new class of poor people to shove to the bottom of the class system, essentially. Because people have to like fill those jobs. And I guess that makes sense why there's like no unemployment, because there's just like a lot fewer people who were unemployed. But there are, I don't know. I only Googled it approximately 5 minutes before we started recording. So all I have for you is a Forbes headline, which says a real life purge would be terrible for the economy. And, you know, everybody knows you don't have to read any further than the headline.
No, you don't. That's it. That's all. That's the facts there. That's the facts. We'll read that later and we'll see if we need to make an amendment. But like,
I think the only thing that would do good in a purge economy would be gun sales and home security sales. Like, that's not going to keep an economy afloat.
Yeah, I could see, like, the stock market doing well in the same way that the stock market was presumably doing well for a lot of the current pandemic. But that doesn't mean that, like, things are going well for everybody on, like, an individual level, you know? Like, it's going, like, pretty bad for a lot of people, I'd imagine.
It's
so especially like if the rich are just getting richer. Rich. Yeah. And they're just like stealing from everybody else, but also fortifying their homes so nobody can steal from them. It just feels like it doesn't feel like a good economic solution. Not that I would have promoted it if it were. I'm just saying, no poli sci, but it seems like a bad idea.
No, yeah, I would have to agree that it's a super bad idea and it can backfire as we see it in this movie where, you know.
Where it's all security theater. It's not real security anyway.
No, because, you know, if all these weapons are legal and you can just go get like a fucking battering ram or like a forklift, whatever they fucking use. I have no idea.
Well, that is actually interesting.
They could bash it all down.
Yeah, they said at one point in the beginning of the movie, I made a note. What did they say? Only weapons of class 4 and lower are allowed. So presumably you can't be like, oh, but I have this grenade. I don't know what class of weapon that would be. Yeah, but presumably you can't use crazy weapons. But again, something like a I don't know the names of construction equipments because my nephew is not old enough to be obsessed with them yet. But like, say things. I can see you that you know one, Sydney.
Yes, a forklift,
thing that digs, the digger.
Yeah, the digger car thing.
Mm-hmm. So those are clearly pretty effective and wouldn't be class. those wouldn't be classified as weapons, you know. So that's like just a tool that you
heavy
have
machinery.
A tool you have at your expense, and you can apparently just attach some chains to the front gates and pull them right off in one quick yank. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you attach chains to like a plain sheet of metal. Did they weld it together? But presumably welding equipment also not a weapon. Yeah. So if you've got some on hand, whip it out.
Is just
basically this like very fancy home security system is the equivalent to my beware of dog sign in my window.
Exactly. Yeah. My beware of dog sign in my window.
It's the TSA making you take your shoes off at the airport. It doesn't really do anything. A lot of the times they just let you keep your shoes on, but it makes you feel like something's being done.
It's like, it's true. Many people have gun shoes, so it's important to take them off.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be careful about these things.
But so the main family in this movie is Ethan Hawke.
We have a gift in this podcast.
I said it and I was like, that's not right.
We We have a gift for pronunciation in this podcast.
That's not right.
I'm sorry. I feel like I got lightheaded for a second because I laughed really hard. But I'm good now. I have that, though. Oxygen.
That makes him seem more fun, you know? Like, not Ethan Hawke is too, like, austere and serious. And no, it's but Ethan Hawke is guy. He's, like, a cool guy.
I love it. Ethan Hawke, I love it.
Ethan Hawke is in this movie. And Lena, let's just keep it. Heady? How do we do it?
Just I'm not even going to try to pronounce Game of Thrones. Just sprinkle in some Cersei.
Yeah, Cersei's in here. Like we said, Max Burkholder and someone named Adelaide Kane. Great name, Adelaide. Wonderful. Don't know who she is.
She's from Rain, the TV show that I was obsessed with back in the day.
Okay, I saw that when I was doing research and I was like, never heard of it, but I'm happy for her. That's great.
Okay, I have a question about the daughter, actually, which is just, how old is she supposed to be? Because I could not figure it out during the movie. I tried to look it up afterwards, didn't get any kind of clear answer. She's dating an 18-year-old who's too old for her. So that makes me feel like she's like a freshman in high school, but she can't be 14 because her younger brother looks like he's 14.
Wait, so he's only 18?
Henry, the boyfriend is only 18, and the dad is like, he's too old for you, which is just like, you know,
if she's 15?
15, yeah, I could get on board with 15. 16 feels like who would care?
She could be 15, and the brother could be 13, and that would make sense.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe Henry's like freshman year in college, which takes it to a different level. You know, maybe he's just for his age, for his year, and he's not yet 19, and that's pushing it a little bit. College boy with your 15-year-old daughter, honey, no.
Yeah, that's aggressive.
Says Ethan Hawke. I like that a lot. I like that he's in this because apparently he got paid like $3,000 to be in this movie, and he just did it because he's friends with the director.
Well, he probably got paid a lot more because this movie ended up making like a shit ton of money. Well, yeah, but yeah, his initial.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. So mm-hmm. he like went in just as a favor and then he made hot stacks of cash afterwards. So like, see, being selfless can pay off. It can work for you.
IMDb said he made more from this movie than like any other movie he's been in probably, which is.
That's depressing
wild
to me.
But it makes, I mean, it that's depressing to me because I didn't like this movie that much. I liked Gattaca a lot better, and Ethan Hawke Gattaca could never, you know what I mean? He would never. This Ethan Hawke, bad. That Ethan Hawke, very sexy and good. But very nice for him as an actor that he was like, yeah, I'll get paid scale, and then he got paid fat stacks.
I also would like to say that I am so happy to see Cersei in this film. Wonderful to see her in another role, but also absolutely ruined by the trash wig they put on her head. Absolutely trash.
Oh, it's so bad. It's
in
so
the beginning,
bad.
It was like such a statement that I was almost like, do I like it? Because I knew I either loved it or hated it, and I wasn't sure. And then as the movie went on, I was like, it's so bad. It's just so bad. And it's not that it's necessarily, like, a bad quality, although maybe it is. It didn't register for me if it was, but it's, like, it's too dark for her, and it's such a harsh haircut. It just, like, and then they put her in, like, these white pants, and I was like, it's March.
Yeah.
I know LA
no,
doesn't
white
really
after
do
Labor
that.
Day.
I know LA doesn't Easter. Really do that. That's like very waspy East Coast, but like it still looked very strange. Like, let's please not be wearing our white linen pants in March with our short black bob.
On Purge night of all nights, like, you know you're gonna get blood at least somehow on yourself. It's a very high probability, and blood stains are very hard to get out, especially of white. Even bleach doesn't get it sometimes. So what do you think, Lena?
I want to know, because she worked out for a brief period and was in her workout clothes and then put real clothes back on. Like, why wouldn't you just put on your jammies and call it an evening?
The absolute foolishness of this movie.
maybe she knew deep down in her heart, maybe we should use her character name now. Maybe Mary Sandin, that's her name.
I didn't like
I didn't like it either. Knew deep down in her heart that she could possibly die that night, and so she put on what she thought was her best suburban mom sexy outfit.
Oh my god,
so
I hate it.
She would have a stuntin' ghost outfit for the rest of her afterlife, you know? You have to think
about
these
things.
Well,
maybe she should have stayed in her exercise clothes if she was going to be prepared to fight on some psychological level.
I don't know. The one last thing I'll say about her hair is it – at the beginning, I thought it was maybe a good wig. By, like, 30 minutes in, I was like, is this my wig that I wore to be Gail Weathers over the weekend for Halloween, but they cut bangs into it? Because it looked – like that quality.
Exactly the same.
It looked like uneven, and the wig I wore is incredibly uneven. I think it was supposed to be a stylistic choice. It's horrible. It's also was Sydney's wig, so thank you for letting me have it. But yeah,
you're welcome.
Like, come on. I know there was a very small budget on this, but at the very least, let us please try to make her look like it's her real hair for 5 seconds.
Just messy.
Just not the best.
But so the Sandin family, they are bad at style choices, don't let their teenage daughter date whoever she wants. But the dad also is responsible for selling all of his rich neighbors these, you know, for-show security systems, which makes the neighbors pissed off that they have so much money because they bought these security systems from them, which just also doesn't make sense in a capitalistic America.
Yeah,
no,
like,
it doesn't make
any
sense.
Isn't it? Like, isn't that what you want? That he gets to shamelessly exploit whoever he wants and their fears and make them buy guns and security systems and then be like, look how well I'm doing because I added an addition to my house. Isn't that the America that they're looking for?
I know.
They thought he was going to redistribute that wealth. That's the capitalism they wanted. That's not capitalism.
Dude, and Grace comes over, the psycho neighbor Grace with the crazy eyes. You know from the start that she's going to pull some shit because she's got absolutely psychotic eyes. And she was giving Mary those cookies, and I was like, those are poisoned. Be careful. But she's like, the thing that I don't understand is like, are you, like, they don't know. Realistically, they don't know at that point that it's not that great of a security system. So, like, they bought the security system. They made that choice. And they know that they bought it from their neighbor. So are they surprised that he made money when they bought something from him? Like, I don't, like, are they really, really dumb? Like, I just don't understand the motivation here.
They're like, we thought your company made money. We didn't realize you worked on commission.
Yeah, I didn't understand. I thought you just were volunteering.
It just, like, okay. It would have made, they, okay. So here's the thing. The strangers show up. They're like, give us our homeless person or we're going to kill you, which fucked. But, you know, the situation escalates from there. They use the chains to tear off the metal gate or whatever. And then the neighbors are like, we saw them breaking into your home. And we're like, hey, that's not fair. If anybody should kill the Sandins, it's us. That's so dumb. To me, the motivation should have been like, look how easily they just pulled that gate down. Clearly our security systems are worthless, but he made so much money off of us. Like, that's when I would be mad. Like, you sold me something you knew didn't work, apparently. Like, you – because the – I mean, I guess they don't know that he knows it essentially doesn't work. But the second that people show up at his door, his family is like, but are we safe? And he's like, well, no, is the thing.
Oh, my God.
So immediately he's like – this is just pretend. We just want to give the appearance of security just so somebody looks at our house and goes, it's not worth it, and moves on. That's when, as a neighbor, I would be pissed. If I was like, we bought this from you for, I don't know how much security systems cost. Let's say it's like $100,000. That seems awfully high, but it's the Purge. Feels like maybe that could be right. These homes look like they're probably million-dollar homes. You know what I mean? And I'm sure insurance in this world, like, I'm sure you can't get good insurance coverage for your home and for your belongings if you don't have a top of the line security system, because otherwise they're going to be like, well, you're not even trying to protect your belongings, so why should we reimburse you if they get stolen? Yeah. And that's a whole other issue.
Life insurance is out of the question in this universe too.
Oh, so true.
Yeah, like everybody would be killing each other for life insurance.
Probably life insurance. You know how some life insurance have clauses, like if you
kill yourself.
Yes, thank you. I didn't want to say, but that is what I was gonna say. If you die by your own hand within a certain amount of time after buying this policy, like, you're not covered. There's probably a clause that's like, if you get killed on the purge night, you're not covered. Or maybe you're only covered XYZ amount.
There's a lot of holes in this.
Yeah, because, like, you didn't plan on murdered during Purge.
Yeah, there's probably Purge-specific life insurance.
Oh, 100%. That's another part of the
whole
game.
And then there's, like, regular life insurance where if you get a heart attack or something.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, okay. Let's back up to the very beginning here. Because we talked about the boyfriend being Henry. But the actor who plays it is Tony Oler or Oyer. There's no way to know how it's pronounced. And no one cares about him enough to know for sure.
He's no Ethan Hawke.
He's no.
We are great at pronunciation here at Spooky Tuesday.
It's got the double F. It could be a Y sound. There's no way to know, but he's
we're just not
white,
that invested.
So, anyway, so I was excited to see him, and I was super jazzed. I was like, wow, it's him, and I knew his name. And I was like, why do I care about this man? And it's because he was the star opposite of Demi Lovato in the show that started her career, As the Bell Rings, a five-minute interlude show that played during the commercials on Disney Channel. And that was probably the most joy I felt this entire film is when I saw his face and then it was immediately ripped away. That I felt no joy for the whole rest of the time. Well, except for I really liked Charlie's little robot thing, baby, that he had named Timmy or what was it called?
Timmy.
That was a really nice touch too. That was a little bit of fun for me before it all went to shit.
That is so disturbing because, one, I get big Toy Story vibes.
Yes, 100% Sid from Toy Story.
100%.
Right? I get big Toy Story vibes.
With, like, the baby head and, like, the little Barbie legs with the
and
hook
it's like
on it.
A fucked up baby head, too. Mm-hmm. Like, no thank you.
But that baby ended up being nice, didn't it, in Toy Story? The scary baby?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Was a homie. So I was like, I feel safe with this scary baby that is a homie to us all.
This scary baby was also a homie. But what I found unrealistic about this scary baby was that only Lena Headey seemed to be alarmed by it when it popped up. Like, when the homeless man doesn't even get a name in this movie, does he?
He's called the Bloody Stranger on on IMDb, but wait, apparently I have not seen the rest of the films, and let it be known right now, I do not plan to ever see the rest of the films.
I'm actually good.
I don't want to do it.
I've seen them. Mean, I highly recommend them. It's a good time.
I don't want to get too deep into what we think of this movie as a whole just yet, but I think the strength of this movie was the concept people really liked, maybe more than the movie itself. So I would be interested to see what else they did with the concept, especially if they had, like, more resources to put into the following films when it came to the writing room in particular.
The concept is what doesn't ruin it for me. It's a brilliant concept. It's totally brilliant, but it is too close to home.
Yes.
And it makes me too upset, and I don't want to hurt myself again. I would like to go somewhere different in the future. Okay, in the other movies, he becomes a more prevalent character, even though he's a super prevalent character in this, and apparently his name is Dante Bishop.
Yes, he's, like, the only character that's been in all three movies, I think. Definitely the only character from this movie to go on into another one.
Yeah, so he does get a name. It's Dante. We love him.
Also, the actor's name is Edwin Hodge. So shout out to him for the cast as well.
And, I mean, God, I just love that at the very beginning of this movie that there's just so much fucking chaos that goes on right at the beginning. Like, you're already freaking out because you don't know at the beginning if what would I just say his name was? Dante. If Dante is going to be a nice man that they let into the house, or if the movie is going to be Dante coming in, pretending to be nice, and then killing everyone. But, like, you're already worried about Dante in the house, and then you got Henry coming down the stairs to try to talk to the dad about his relationship with the daughter. Like, the daughter should have known that something was up, because you never choose Purge night as the night to show up in someone's house unexpectedly to talk about your relationship with their daughter. Like, that's never going to go well. The dad has free rein to shoot you in the face. So, like, even if he likes you, it's not a good idea.
So IMDb said that the original script was the daughter was supposed to shoot the dad. And the people were like, yeah, no. So they made Henry do it.
Why, you know, I want to know. I want to know why they scrapped that, because it makes more sense.
Right? It makes a lot more sense. That's like, it makes so much more sense if she was like, I want to be with you, I'm going to shoot you. And then, because what I don't get with Henry's logical reasoning brain, oh, the dad won't be together, let me just murder her father, because then she'll definitely want to be with me after I murder her father.
Yeah,
was he planning on murdering her whole family so she has nobody else to go to but him? We'll never know. But
yeah, because like Mary's not going to be like, oh, you know, a couple years back you killed my husband, but you know, you and my daughter are a beautiful couple now, and I will co-sign on this marriage for you. Like, no. Like, that's burning all the bridges, sir. Like, Henry, he's just a psychopath.
Just a full predator, because now I'm doubling down and I'm like, she's 14. That's why he's too old. That's why he's going to kill her dad instead of just being like, whatever, I'll find a girlfriend my own age. Because he's a literal predator. And so he's like, put in the work to groom another 14-year-old? No way. I've invested all of this time in this 14-year-old. look, I think it doesn't make sense, even that aside, which gross. But if it were the daughter, that would have been better plot-wise, because after their little shootout exchange, she, like, runs away. And then a lot of the other plot of the movie is, like, we can't find Zoe, as if their house is not – it's big, but it's, like, a normal-sized house. You know what I mean? Like, there are only so many places she can be. Why is she running away, other than at first she's, like, trying to get her boyfriend to safety? It doesn't make sense that she's, like, hiding from them in their own house from her dad, who only shot her boyfriend because the boyfriend shot at him first. Like, if the daughter was trying to hide from them because she wanted to kill her dad and didn't want to be stopped, that makes just so much more sense. You know what I mean?
I think she was hiding because she was like, oh, no, they're mad at me because my boyfriend tried to kill them, which, like, you know. They're probably mad, but they're not going to start shooting you now, I don't think. I don't think we're going there quite yet.
They bought this whole system to protect you, so, like, maybe they're probably not going to kill you. I don't know.
Yeah, she makes shit so much harder for them the entire movie, because she's just like, I'm over here. Now I'm over here. Now I'm going to go in the one place in the house that I shouldn't fucking go, because Dante's in there right now. That was pissed me off so much. I was like,
she's basically useless this whole movie.
Except, okay, I would agree, except she has the line that changes Ethan Hawke, aka James Sandin, from bad, bad, not good, very bad man who is happy to just throw this poor guy who's already bleeding out in the street to be eviscerated, to a man who values human life. Because she says something, what does she say? She says something to the effect where she's just like, nothing's ever gonna be okay ever again. Like, even if they survive the night, nothing will ever be the same, because they're gonna kill this guy essentially, or send him to death, and it will ruin the family.
Like, and morally, they'll be forever changed.
Exactly. And so we love her. We love Zoe for coming in with the hard crushing truth of reality, just bitch slapping her father in the face with reality and, you know, knocking some sense into him. So that's the one good thing she did the whole movie. Thank you.
She did also kill the warbler from Glee.
Oh my God.
She did do that. Okay. Can we just talk about the freaks?
We need to. There's so much.
What's Dalton Academy in Glee? Like, is that Blaine Anderson? Is his name Blair? It's Blaine, right?
Blaine.
I think it's Blaine. Okay, because Blaine. I'm not, I wasn't
Darren,
a big
Darren Chris.
Blaine fan, but good for them.
I love a Glee reference.
So they were very unsettling.
Oh my God.
They were very fashion wise on different pages with each other, was my takeaway.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the main dude whose name in the movie is Polite Leader. That's what on IMDb he is cast as Polite Leader, which
that's
is
the
just,
warbler that we're referencing.
Yes, the warbler. His real life name is Reese Wakefield. I almost pronounced it super wrong, but I recently found out that if you spell a word R-H-Y-S, that's Reese. It's not Rice.
Oh, so I've been saying that wrong my whole life.
Dude, I only know that because there are new baby twins in my family as of this summer, and one of them is named that, so I have to know. Shout out to Janet. Good job. Having children. Anyway, so Reese
Good job,
Wakefield.
Janet.
I hope she doesn't listen to this, it will disturb her. Reese Wakefield honestly slayed it in this movie. And apparently, according to IMDb trivia, which is our Bible, he was only cast like the day before they started filming. They had like all these guys come in for the role and they were all being like super out there creepy. But he just had this subtle, haunting fucked upness to him that really just sends you to a dark, dark place. And he slayed it this whole movie.
And the way that he shot his friend immediately for being rude is very Hannibal Lecter in both Silence of the Lambs and Hannibal. So I gotta say, I did appreciate that villainous aspect to him. I won't say I respect it because killing is bad. But if you're gonna kill somebody, being rude could be worse reasons, you know?
Also, the line that he says right after that, he's like, sorry about that. I don't condone that kind of behavior. Just keep in mind, Mr. Standin, that he was my friend and you are not. And then at the end of this whole speech, he says, send out he or that will be thee. Oh, okay. Weird.
Did not like that. Don't love a rhyme a lot of the times. You know, I like poetry. I like some rhymes. You got to work a little hard for it. You know, that one was pretty forced, so I didn't appreciate it. I didn't understand it at first when he said it. Like, I felt like I missed some words or something, and it wasn't until you wrote it out in our chat as we were watching the movie, Monica, that I read it again, and I was like, oh, that's what he said? Like, it just didn't that like it, quote, thought it was not effective.
It spoke to me on a very deep personal level because I was just like, wow, this man is so unhinged that he thinks that this is like a deep burn. He's like, oh, let me scare him. Let me throw a V out there. They're not going to know what to do. He's shaking in his boots in that house right now. And I like that about him. He did a good job.
The other freaks where some of the women were all wearing like flowy white dresses, which immediately I was like, this is very The Haunting of Sharon Tate. It all comes back to The Haunting of Sharon Tate. And then IMDb validated that for me and was like, the director's obsessed with the Mansons. And so this was like Manson girl inspired, which
I love totally. I love that your mind was like, you obviously made the Manson connection, but you weren't like Manson. You were like The Haunting of Sharon Tate.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, you know.
It doesn't have to be related to a movie, just the actual Mansons.
Here's the thing. I stan Aaron Samuels and Hilary Duff, so like, what are you going to do?
You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, the showdown was very clearly not inspired by either of those two movies, because Haunting of Sharon Tate and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood both came out way after The Purge in 2013. Those were both, I think, 2019 movies for the, like, 50th anniversary or whatever of the Manson murders. But ooh, it felt very evocative of both of those scenes. Like, I've seen the clip of Brad Pitt doing stuff. I don't remember what he does.
I don't remember either.
Stuff, and it's badass. And I thought of it when they were, like, whacking people with the pool cue. Don't know if that is actually anything that happened. I don't know if there was a pool table in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. But that's the vibe I got. And it's interesting because I don't know if this was filmed at Iverson Ranch at all in Chatsworth. I don't think so. But there was some mention of Iverson Ranch on IMDb. That's just like another – there were a lot of Western ranches in Chatsworth that were used for filming. Spahn Ranch, where the Manson families basically were shacking up, were living, was – also nearby. These are both in Chatsworth. That also felt very place. Like, yes, no, don't be mean. Chatsworth
it's
is
not mean. It's just that it's a spooky history. This is show yes. is called Spooky Tuesday. This is okay, not a
compliment. A compliment to Chatsworth. I accept. But it just felt more like Manson inspiration to be like, let's go to Chatsworth. Let's have the Manson girl dresses. Let's do this like random murder where they're terrifying. I don't know. What I didn't like were the masks, and maybe that is partially because once again things crossed into real world territory a little bit, because the same day that we watched this movie, just hours earlier, someone sent me a screenshot of a former Bachelorette contestant's Instagram. And he posted this a couple of days ago, but it's, once again, going to struggle with this name a little bit. Garrett Rugoyan, who was engaged to Becca Kufrin, who was the Bachelorette. And then they had, like, this big semi-public breakup earlier this year for political differences. And he's going full Tomi Lahren status Republican on the timeline now. And he posted, like, a get out the vote Instagram wearing a Purge mask with an I voted sticker on the Purge mask. And it's like the Lady Purge mask. And then he in the, his caption was like, I read yesterday that there are nearly 15 million hunters in the US and nearly 30% don't vote. Like, how are you going to be like, I'm wearing a Purge mask and I'm telling hunters to get out the vote? Like, that is terrifying. That is some real villain shit. Somebody in the comments was like, are you gonna purge? And he was like, yes sir, haha. Like,
oh my god. Okay,
I know
Chris Harrison, come get your man.
Yes, be a Republican if you want, that is your choice, but how are you gonna be like, I'm team purge?
Seriously. And also, like, okay, obviously there, we can all see what the allegory here, what the analogy is, what the purge people are supposed to be like in this extreme version of reality. But God, he's just blowing out all the subtlety. He's like, I am a Republican and I would kill people if it served the economy.
Like, wild, because his post is so like that Republican post people were doing where they're like, we're still going to be friends after the election. It's just a difference of opinion, which, not getting into that. But if he's like, the right people in your life will stick around no matter which direction you go, but I'm going to tell hunters to make sure they go vote while wearing a purge mask, that feels a little counterintuitive to your let's all be nice to everybody message.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say it right now, you guys. I'm ride or die for you guys. But if you go on a purge-style killing spree 10 days before my birthday, because the purge takes place on March 21st and that does not fly with me, it's going to be a die. I'm not going to be with you guys. I'm not going to ride anymore. It's going to be over.
Monica, what if it's legal?
you know what?
Yeah.
It's still, I'm a anti-murder person. I'm just going to say that. I like learning about murders that have already occurred, but I am not telling anyone to go murder. And if they do, I say no bad, no bad.
What if we didn't murder and we just did cyber crimes?
Ooh, what if we just did that at this time? We did the movies.
Right. Oh my god, but at the beginning of this movie, there's like a huge thing that goes up on the screen for like 10 seconds, like longer than it needs to be, and it says, piracy is not a victimless crime, so let me remind you of that.
Catch me out here on Purge Night downloading every movie that came out that year.
So one thing, because Purge is on March 21st, the number goes 3, 2, 1. So it's a countdown.
Fuck that.
Hate it.
Hate it. Nothing bad should ever happen in between St. Patrick's Day and my birthday. Those are my two favorite holidays in the beginning of the year. St. Patrick's Day and my birthday. My most favorite is Halloween besides my birthday, to be clear. And this is unacceptable to put fear and fear of death, fear for your life in between those two wonderful drunken occasions? Absolutely not. I won't stand for it. I say no.
I feel like March is also just like a bad season to purge. You know what I mean? Like the spring you're going to purge in, like put it in August when everybody's at their angriest and it's super hot, you know?
So true. You got to give people, yeah.
They say it is the end of summer anyway.
The end of winter, so people are like, I've been inside, I'm so cold. We don't have winter in California, so I can't really tell you about how that feels.
But we have winter in August when Tennessee. Everybody's furious already, and also when people like don't want to run away because they're so hot that they will get heat stroke and die. And also all the rich people can just stay inside with their air conditioning, you know what I mean? Like, oh, that would be actually very interesting. I was going to say that would be very interesting in LA, though, because sometimes in LA during a heat wave, the power will go out because everybody's AC is on. So that would be this is a great plot line for a Purge movie. If they want to change the date of the Purge, this is free, up for grabs.
Oh, yeah. Blackout. All of your security systems are down. Purge blackout. Oh, my God. Write it.
They are making a fifth Purge movie.
Hello? Can it be me? Is it called The Blackout? Is it going to be – what's that the device Chelsea called does. That they always have in, like, EMPs where you can, like – that's probably not a weapon, right? That's got to be classified – I mean, maybe it would be classified as a weapon. But if it's not, or if it's class 4 or lower, hell yeah, I'm going to use my – if I were to purge, which I would not. But if I were to purge, I'd bring my little EMP around knocking power out of people's security systems. You know, that feels smart.
You're like – we would be great at purge, I feel. Chelsea. I'm scared.
We wouldn't commit to her.
From Chatsworth, maybe it's in my blood.
You were born to kill. It's true.
I would participate in the purge. As long as, like, and I wouldn't murder anybody unless they tried to murder me. And then it's on. Like, I would be packing heat, obviously, like, for protection. But, like, I feel like I would want to go, like, rob large businesses. Like, we won't do anything to small businesses. But, like, big businesses, all day. Let's go.
I'm going to loot that Nordstrom's.
Exactly. Leader. How else will I get my Louis Vuittons that I want?
Oh, my God. Where I would be on Purge night is like, maybe we're somewhere I haven't gone. Maybe Australia, maybe New Zealand, maybe somewhere.
But then someone's going to break into your unattended house and take all of your stuff, Monica. You've got to stay home to protect your stuff. It's the American way.
I'm going to move out every March to a different country, all of my things.
That's a very interesting question, though, like America grant you the right to leave the country during the purge? Like, how in advance of the purge do you have to get out?
I don't know that, but I doubt based on y'all's temperature on this movie that we will talk about any of the other movies. on Maybe. This podcast.
There's just so much Maybe else for free, to for discuss fun. That's not this.
But
that's true. So that's in a good point.
The other movies, Purge becomes a huge tourist attraction. So people from other countries come to America to commit crimes.
Illegal. Feels like how you can't go to Canada to sleep with somebody underage just because it's legal in Canada. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with the statute.
That's great.
But I've been SVU enough times to know that that's not okay to do.
Yeah, but that's a thing that government in this movie is like, come to America, murder some people.
It's
don't care.
All about the economy. Let's be real. It's not about releasing rage or anything like that. It's about the economy. And so, of course, tourism is a huge economy boost. They're like, come on over, people from everywhere. Get murked on our soil.
And it's not like you can buy guns as easily in other countries. So you're going to have to get your purge supplies here. That's another boost.
Yep. As somebody who lives in Nashville during the coronavirus, where we heavily rely on tourism on one street, and our city has been like, please come to Nashville in the middle of a global pandemic, I think this fully checks out.
Yeah.
Hate it.
100%
hate it.
Yeah. It's like the same.
Very American.
It's the same draw as like the fucking Running of the Bulls. Not saying the Running of the Bulls is on par with this, but you are going over there to watch people maybe get gored by a bull, or maybe yourself get gored by a bull. And so very similar mindset here.
I don't like it.
What was your favorite death in this movie?
I guess I liked when the Warbler died, but I guess I really liked when Ethan Hawke died, because I was over him at that point.
Yeah, it was a little too late for me to see him as a redeemed man.
Which is probably why he had to stay dead, instead of like them at the end being like, he made it to the morning, call the ambulance, you know.
And let me say that I had seen this movie before, and in classic Monica style, had forgotten the entire everything that happened. I just remembered that like a man comes into the house that they try to save, and he's nice. That's all I remember. I just remember that he is a nice man, and he doesn't deserve the bad things that are happening. But I 100% remembered him being alive at the end. So whoopsies, Ethan Hawke. I'm so sorry. In my rewrite, you survived, so I'm sorry, dude. But it couldn't be the way. Also, I loved that, you know, you see he's stabbed. You're like, oh, he's stabbed. He's being whispered to by a polite leader. And then polite leader, just before that part, polite leader takes the fucking knife out. And you're like, oh, this isn't a knife. This is a fucking sword that he's pulling out of him. And then he whispers. For a sweet nothing. Oh, it's fucking huge. It's
bigger than
a
machete.
Gives
him a little smooch on the forehead.
The smooch was the best part of the movie. Best part of the movie.
Oh, God. That was very deeply unsettling, but I also was like, finally, a gay moment.
He said, thank you for this unforgettable purge, Mr. Sandin. Amazing.
True
there
love
was another
kiss.
Fake gay moment where two girls with the masks on pressed their masks together as if they were making out. But since they had masks on, their mouths didn't actually touch. Doesn't really count as gay.
No.
Not a lot of gay culture in this film, you know? Like, no. Really lacking on the gay representation front.
Not at all. In my mind's eye, Charlie grows up to be an eccentric gay man who loves engineering and... Maybe is in robot club in high school.
Love that for him.
I see that for him, and I love it for him.
A thought I did have, though, and this is a fan fiction moment for the gay community, is that it would make more sense if Zoe were a boy and it was like two boys dating, and that's why the conservative Republican nice waspy dad doesn't approve and is like, no, they have to break up, like, not in my house, not in my family. And the mom is kind of like, but love is love, but I am still a wasp, which is why I'm gonna be like, there's not one carb in this dinner. That pissed me off. But I'm not gonna get sidetracked. It would have made so much more sense to me if they were a gay couple, and that's why the boyfriend also is like, they're never going to accept us, which is why I have to kill him. Because, I mean, like, Zoe eventually is going to get older. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Eventually she'll be old enough to date an older guy. It's not going to matter. But if they're a gay couple and they don't accept him because of that, he might be like, this is our only option. And it would also make sense why the older son then would have to run away, because he's like, my relationship is not accepted by my family, therefore I'm not accepted by my family, therefore when my boyfriend turns out to be a killer, I don't know how this is going to go for me. You know, it adds a level of drama that I think would have made more sense writing-wise consistently with the movie, and also would be some gay shit for us.
Exactly. And also, let me tell you how quickly my perception of Henry flipped when you said that. Like, if Henry is still mm-hmm. Henry and he does the exact same shit, but he's doing it because he's gay and he wants to be with Ethan Hawke's son and they won't let him, then I'm like, kill him.
Can I just say, like, is that not a better movie?
No,
The Purge Blackout. Keep me in mind. I could be available. Who can say?
God, let's just send this podcast unedited, just straight to the director.
Then they're going to be like, they hated our movie. And we'll be like, but we have ideas. So
I didn't hate it. I really liked it the first time. But the second time around, we're watching it on day two of the never-ending election. We don't know if the Trumpster dumpster is going to continue ruining our lives for another 4 years. And we're stressed. It's stress doesn't even begin to cover it.
Who, like, when we watched Scream 4 right after Scream 3, didn't go well for Scream 4. When we gave it some distance, we liked Scream 4 a lot more. Maybe I would like The Purge a lot more not watching it right after Election Day, not watching it waiting for results to come in as crowds of people started to gather outside of places counting ballots, demanding that ballots do get counted or don't get counted alternately based on the narrative. You know, so that probably didn't help that it was like those two things were simultaneously happening.
If I wasn't already at the boss level of my anxiety,
yeah,
like maybe it would have been palatable. But at this point,
if it had come at a time when people weren't already being like, so this is a civil war, right?
Yeah.
Where some of our friends, even our liberal friends, were like, should I get a gun just in case? You know what I mean? Like, people
oh, yeah.
were legitimately asking that question.
As a Southern liberal, I already have my gun, mm-hmm. so I'm prepared.
My most anti-gun liberal friends were like, I have made some calls about getting a gun, but unfortunately, there's a 10-day waiting period, and that election is less than 10 days away, and therefore it's a moot point, so we're moving past that, and we're sharpening our knives.
Yeah, I mean, I just...
The wounds are gnarly, though, so, you know, you've
seen
just
with Ethan Hawke.
Right. I love how we've just committed to
That's
Ethan
his
Hawke.
Name now.
That's his name. That's
it's his name.
I think that he'll get a lot more roles, and he'll come back into, like, the public, like, eye a little bit more if he starts going by that name. It's got a little zing to it.
He could make his return, especially now that he's Maya Hawke's father. You know what I mean? Like, he could hop on that Stranger Things season three clout, whatever season she was in as Robin, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Ride on the coattails of his young daughter, who is
I'm
also
just saying,
trying
Ethan
to be a musician.
Hawke. Mm-hmm. You're kind of like... Gattaca was a long time ago.
He can just reinvent himself. I am no longer Ethan Hawke. I'm Ethan Hawke.
Yeah,
could
it's
be
true.
Rebrand.
Everybody loves a rebrand.
Let's do it, baby.
It's similar but different.
Okay, so as we know, this movie is a nonstop horror show the whole time for more than one reason. But what was the scariest part for you?
So there's one scene where Charlie is hiding and he's like looking around, and all of a sudden one of the freak people just is like there, and I peed myself a little bit. I was
oh.
I completely forgot about it, and I was like not it was like a really I get like really jumpy on jump scares. I think
oh,
it
yeah.
is a genetic thing because my father also is like king of if something is just like out of place, he jumps.
I also have that gene. Maybe we're related.
Ooh, wow. We could be cousins.
Oh my God.
And it just, I was like, oh God. And that was the other, you know, than all the other like big world. That was the biggest like actual scare factor for me.
Oh yeah, I screamed out loud for that part. That got me good.
You know, I don't even know what you're talking about. So clearly it didn't stand out to me that much.
It was so scary for you that you blacked out. That's what happened.
No, I think the thing that scared me most in this movie was in the very beginning of the movie when Zoe and Henry are making out in her room, and then she says, I love you, and he says, I love you, maybe. And then he's like, let's growl at each other. Instead of saying, I love you, we should growl at each other so that we have our own special thing where we just growl at each other. And to me, that was just like such a pistol whip to the face, throwing me back into 2006 when you would put on your MySpace page, RAR means I love you and dinosaur. I just knew from that point on, like, this wasn't going to go well for me, you know? That to me,
we knew Henry was not to be trusted when he said that.
That was a really bad omen. Also, Adam, my boyfriend, was still in the room at that point, and we both looked at each other like, we're never gonna do that. So I can assure you that we don't do stupid shit like that in our relationship, and that's a promise.
Yeah, I mean, it just
should, though.
We're not gonna growl.
No.
That sounded terrible.
It just was very MySpace, and it was also that moment in You season 2 where she's like, "Let's not say I love you because my name is Love. Let's say I wolf you." Hate it.
Oh wow. Okay, I had like done a very good job of deleting that memory from my brain, Chelsea. So thank you for bringing that right back to the forefront. God, I hated
the Purge.
That.
Blame this movie and the growling. Just no, didn't. Scariest part for sure for me.
Listen, I'm okay if somebody growls. Just like I don't want them to tell me, hey, let's growl. Like I want like a.
If you growl, sure. I mean, if that's your like natural instinct, you know, that's great for you. I love to get passionate or animal instinct or whatever, but to be like, we're gonna growl instead of saying I love you, like, first of all, if you're gonna kill your girlfriend's dad because you want to be with her, at least be able to say I love you. Yeah. And then if you're, I just like, we don't need to be growling. We just don't need to be doing it, and we don't need to be establishing that this is our secret code for each other. I just, Henry's a predator and I hate him, you know?
Imagine if he hadn't died that night, and like the next day they're on the phone and she's like, okay, I have to go, my dad's calling. And instead of saying love you, bye, she goes, bye.
Like, I'm just glad we didn't see his final death moments, because you know that she was holding his hand growling at him.
I just feel empty inside after that, so thank you.
One moment that wasn't scary but like kind of was scary but deserves a lot to be talked about was the last moment where Mary is y'all know what I'm talking about, where the creepy neighbor has tried Grace. To kill them. Yes, the blonde Grace neighbor has tried to kill the family.
And the Hardersons, which I hated that last name too. It's hard to say.
And there was a line about how the Halversons didn't need any more cookies. What was that about? Why all the food shaming in this movie?
Unacceptable.
Can't be trusted. But they're waiting for it to be 7 a.m. so nobody can murder anybody. Which, and Grace tries to take the shotgun away from Mary. And she just, like, slams her face on the table and then just takes the shotgun butt and goes whack to the face. And I was truly, spooked by it because I was just not expecting it at all.
I felt joy in that moment. Yeah, I was like, yeah, fuck her up. I was like, okay, as I said before, I'm not pro-murder. But if anyone deserves to fucking die in
talk
this movie.
Shit, get hit.
Exactly. I'm like, she's like, let's have a peaceful night. I'm like, okay, so you're just going to sit there in silence for like 5 hours, which they did. They did do that. They did do that. But I also love that it's like literally 30 seconds left in The Purge when Grace tries to make her fucking move. And she gets hit and gets her whole face just absolutely fucked, which is going to ruin things at the PTA, you know, later on.
I just still buy into the concept that now that it hits 7, she's just going to be like, oh, bummer, guess I won't go home. Like, if you punch her back, you know what I mean? Like, you're not going to go to prison for the rest of your life. Although, well, I don't know. I guess maybe the laws are different in this movie. Maybe the punishment for simple assault is a lot higher, but...
Well, I mean, and Mary still has the gun at that point, so she's not going to come at her when she's got a shotgun still on her.
Why was that gun so weird also? All of the guns in this movie were like had weird handles on them. I don't know much about guns, but it seemed like they picked some funky looking guns on occasion.
I don't know. I didn't notice that at all because I don't know anything about guns.
I think they just picked guns that were bigger so you could see them on the screen. So it was, like, obvious that they were all holding guns.
This is a gun.
Do you see my gun? Here's my gun.
Look, I
have a gun.
Oh, okay. There was one other, not scary, but unsettling moment that I just want to give a shout out to real quick. And that's when one of the killers or freaks or maybe one of the neighbors, don't remember who it was, somebody started tickling somebody else and I didn't like that.
It was one of the freaks. Yeah. It was the lady freaks in the Manson dresses, and she like gets Mary and is like, tickle tickle, you're gonna die.
I mean, I wrote it down in my notes because that's Cersei and there's a Game of Thrones character called the Tickler, and so that stood out to me. but didn't like it across the board. And what I really didn't like is at the end they go to the bloody stranger Dante and they're just like, all right, back to being homeless for you. Like, no, he's your new dad now. You have to let him move in. That's the law.
Right? This is your roommate now.
They never he even saved your life. His freaking name.
Yeah, through his own kindness and courtesy and braveness, courage of spirit, whatever. He saved your life. He guarded you for the rest of the night. He didn't have to do that. He lives with you now. I'm sorry. That's the way it is. Your house is big.
Yeah. Come on. Just absolute,
right, you won't even know that he's there.
You're just going to throw him back onto the mean streets of Chatsworth? Come on.
Oh, man. I mean, okay, I think for me, the scariest part of this movie is that, like, I feel like there are many people who exist in this country who would be, like, mad down for this. Just, like, absolutely super down for a Purge-type scenario. And just to take it there for a second, like, I can't even tell you how many people I hear and see social media posts from who think of, like, lower income and homeless people, like, in a very similar way to the characters in this film. And
it's my right to do whatever I want to them. Yeah.
Yeah, and they talk about homeless people like they should be, like they're garbage on the street or something, and it's like sickening, and I hear that every day, and then seeing it like to the nth degree in this movie, I was like, I would like to sleep for years and years. Thank you and goodbye. So it was just bad timing to watch this. I haven't recovered.
Yeah. The verbiage in the way the freaks talk about people that they think they deserve to kill is so unsettling, because you see that on Twitter, you see that, you know, on the internet all the time, and it's just like,
and the fact that they don't even believe that it's reciprocal on Purge Night, where anybody is allowed to kill anybody. Like, they're specifically chasing this guy because he killed one of their friends, so now it's like personal for them. Like, That's the game, honey. Like, you agreed to go out there and hunt and purge. He took out one of your guys. That feels like fair is fair.
Talk shit, get hit.
Yes. An important lesson from this podcast.
Seriously. And at least the movie taught us one thing.
Okay. Anyway, we talked about the cast a little bit. But what I would like to pose as a question to you is, where should Matthew Lillard have been in this movie?
There's like a lot of places that he could have been, because we all know that he is the master of being absolutely unhinged mm-hmm. in not so subtles, but in subtle ways as well. And so I could really see him as the polite leader, but with hopefully a better haircut, because sorry, Reese Wakefield, but your hair in this movie was truly horrifying. It was like a poorly executed mullet trying to mm-hmm. be fancy, and it that I had nightmares about that as well, just as a separate dream, just me having that hair one day, nightmare shit. But I really think that Matthew could have stepped in, young Matthew, we're talking about Matthew in Scream, like that age. He could have walked up, he could have had the spooky mask on, and he could have taken off the mask, and I would have been like, it's Matthew Lillard, thank God, as it always should be. So I really could have seen him there.
I am less inclined to play your Matthew Lillard at any time in space or the universe game. And I tend to go with whatever Matthew Lillard was at the time this movie came out. And so I thought he would have been great as one of the neighbors. You know what I mean? Just like bring a little star power, get us invested in the neighbors. Like, are the neighbors going to be okay? Do we care about the neighbors? Are the neighbors crazy? You know what I mean? But also I thought, like, you know, if just one of the masks looked like Matthew Lillard, that also would have been fun. If it was like Matthew Lillard, if instead of doing the Scream ghost face mask, which they could have done, if they had done, you know, there's a moment in Scream where Matthew Lillard like sticks his tongue out like he always does, like a crazy tongue out moment. And if they had made a mask of that Matthew Lillard face, that would have been great for the freaks to wear.
Wow.
Yeah.
He should have been Mr. Halverson, but I love the mask.
Oh, my God. I also think that, and I'm sorry, I'm still going to do the Matthew Lillard in any time and space
thing. That's totally – I respect it for you.
That's just how I feel. I feel like, again, a young, sexy, seemingly normal, but then mm-hmm. unhinged Matthew Lillard could have been Henry in an instant. And I would have believed it a little bit more that he would shoot somebody in the face, like, or try to shoot someone in the face.
I guess I just we need to get around to putting Scooby-Doo on our list, because the thing is, I think of Scream Matthew Lillard. I think of what's that one I made us watch that the was curve? Filmed? Yeah, The Curse of Matthew Lillard, 13 Ghosts Matthew Lillard. Like, I cannot take a glance at any of those Matthew Lillards and think that they're normal. Like, immediately, you know, like, there's something wrong with all of those Matthew Lillards.
The first time I ever watched Scream, I didn't know it was going to happen. And so I was like, he's hot.
He was hot. You didn't necessarily know that he was the killer watching Scream for the first time. But he was talking an awful lot about, like, they gutted them. They cut them from stern to groin or whatever. Like, all that messed up shit that he says. So, like, you know he's not, like, a nice Matthew Lillard.
I don't know. I just know
we gotta watch Scooby-Doo so you can...
so that I can refresh my Matthew Lillard persona.
A charming.
Because I just have unhinged Matthew Lillard, and then I have, like, sad, beaten down, cuckolded Matthew Lillard in Good Girls on NBC.
Oh, jeez. Christ, there's a lot of gears in between there. Oh, man. I can't wait for the day that Matthew Lillard listens to the pod. Manifest it. One day. Okay. Anyway, that was my manifesting voice.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Thank you. All right. Less of me singing, more of us deciding who's the dumb bitch here. Like, there's a lot of them. So who did you feel was number one?
There's so many dumb bitches in this movie, and it could go, like, anyway. Like, there's definitely more than three. I think the only person that isn't a dumb bitch in this movie is Charlie.
Agreed.
I think he's very pure child. Spirit, but arguably he is a little bit of a dumb bitch.
True.
He's small. He doesn't know. There's a difference.
He's old enough to get that he's risking his family's life by letting this guy in. I'm not saying he's wrong to do that. I'm just saying he's opening himself and his family up to vulnerabilities without really thinking through the consequences.
That's true. His heart is too big and he doesn't understand the harsh realities of the world. The only pure of heart character and pure of dumb bitch character in this entire film is Timmy. Oh.
Beautiful. Love it.
Timmy and Crow Hot Baby, in case you guys forgot.
Oh, the bloody stranger, Dante, he's pretty pure of spirit and good heart. And
okay, him.
He, you know, he's the anti-dumb bitch because he's smart. And I mean, would I have run into the hills of Chatsworth? I don't know. I guess we don't know where he started. The area where they filmed is like not necessarily anywhere where you would easily be. You'd have to like get up into that area. But they didn't specify that it is actually Chatsworth. They were just like Los Angeles suburb. So maybe they're pretending it's Brentwood. Who knows?
Yeah, he should have just kept running and running. He probably was just like, I will go to a place that sounds quieter so there are less men around to kill me, which is smart. But
yeah, I mean, if he started nearby, then, like, he's doing what he's got to do. If he specifically came to this area, don't know that it was the best strategic choice, but I certainly would not call him a dumb bitch for just doing what he's got to do and doing his best, you know?
Yeah. So, not a dumb bitch. Wonderful, wonderful man in a horrible position. Mm-hmm. But who extra sucks? Because they all suck. But who sucks most?
I'm going to give mine to Henry. Because just the logical process of him killing his girlfriend's dad, unless he was going to kill the entire family, which still, your girlfriend isn't going to want to be with you after you murk her whole family, even if it's legal. Just, what are you doing? Now she's going to be in so much therapy. This poor girl. It's got to be Henry.
Yeah, I mean, Henry is a big bitch and a dumb bitch all around. Who do I think? I mean, I'm only doing this based on like the person that I have the most hate for, just based on everything, and it's Grace. I just can't stand her and her crazy eyes. Like, she didn't think like the whole time she was looking at them during the when she was tying up the whole family. And I think that her petty squabbles are not means to kill. And also, I bet those cookies fucking sucked. And I bet her party that she has every year is lame. And I hate her and she's a dumb bitch. So, bye, Grace.
That's a good nomination. I do feel like her cookies probably suck and don't have carbs. And I do feel like she was the one being like, how dare you flaunt your wealth? Like, bitch, look at your houses. You're all flaunting your wealth.
Yeah.
I guess.
How dare you be richer than me?
Yeah, like, how dare you be rich off my money? Like, man, that's how capitalism works, which I have to assume is what you like. but I want to do a quick honorary mention to the head warbler, because when he was looking at the family photos on the wall, he looked at a picture of Zoe and said she was exquisite. And we agreed she can't be any older than 15. Assuming that's even the, like, assuming they framed that photo and put it up the day before, you know what I mean? She's no older than 15 in that photo, probably younger. You're going to look at a photo of a 14-year-old and be like, exquisite? Gross. No. Honorary dumb bitch mention. But my true dumb bitch award nomination goes to Ethan Hawke, and that's because he sold all of these security systems to his neighbors, and clearly made enough money to add an addition to his house. But what he didn't do instead of adding on to his house was buy a better security system than the ones his company was selling. Like, if you're making that much bank off all of your neighbors, buy a security system that actually works so that your neighbors can't come kill you for selling them faulty shit. Like,
what they should have done.
They should at least have a panic room.
Yeah, right? like, what is that about?
Room within a room.
You're going to buy this system, no cameras inside, no panic room, like, just felt like he didn't really think this through. And if you work in security in the Purge world and you know that your system doesn't actually work and you know you've gotten hella rich off your neighbors, I'm going to reinvest that money back into actually making my house safe. Don't know about you.
I'll say only one time. Invest in a moat. Come on.
At least get a guard dog or something.
Get a moat. Get a moat. Put alligators in there. Fun pets. Exciting. You know who would love that? Charlie would love some alligators. Maybe invest. It's 2022. Science could be there where they have like those laser sharks from Austin Powers or yes, I think it's Austin yes. Powers. Yeah.
He would get love a laser shark.
Exactly. Like get something ridiculous that works. Moats always work. And barbed wire that's got electric things. What is that? What am I trying? Electric fence. There you go.
Amazing. Incredible.
Those aren't even that expensive. Come on. I agree with you there. I don't know. I think that Grace is a dumb bitch, but like you really got me there. Ethan Hawke has really failed his family in this film, and then he dies. So
right. He's a dumb bitch for just poor planning.
Mm-hmm. He didn't think it through.
Yeah.
And then he's going to tell his kids, like, we would totally purge. We just don't need to. But then immediately he's ready to, like, throw somebody else to the wolves. Like, that's aggressive in its own. You know what? I'm just – okay. I just feel like he clearly believes in the purge enough to sell these security systems, doesn't believe in the purge enough that he thinks he needs to protect himself, does believe in the purge enough to throw the bloody stranger out on his butt on the street, strapped to a chair – doesn't believe in the purge enough to explain it to his son in a way that his son understands what they need to do to protect themselves. Like, his ideology is just very wishy-washy, and his follow-through is non-existent.
I'm totally there with you on that. Also, like, the fact that he was so nonchalant in the literal, like, 30 seconds leading up to the start of the purge and had not even put on the security system yet, they're all just like, oh, what time is it? Oh, is it 6:57 and 38 seconds? We probably should put up the metal walls so we don't get killed immediately by our next-door neighbor who's sharpening a machete right now. Like, come on. Yeah.
Don't know about you, but I'm locking down this second everybody's home safely.
Well, that's something, too. If they would have locked down as soon as he got back, Henry wouldn't have been in the house. So, like, he wouldn't have been able to get back into the house. Like, poor planning.
Well, it's settled. Ding, ding, ding. We have a winner. Ethan Hawke, a.k.a. Jams. Jams Sanders. Ethan Hawke, a.k.a. Jam Sandin, is the dumb bitch.
Just going to mispronounce every name he has.
Jam would be an upgrade, so that's exciting. I made him sound cooler.
Okay. Is it time for Knives Out of Fives?
Yes, and you said it right. I'm so proud.
Thank you. Have I been practicing? No, but did I make a mental note? Yes. Okay. So background on IMDb, this movie got 5.7 out of 10. On Rotten Tomatoes, it got 40% from critics and 36% from the audience. So not a very well-regarded film. Once again, this movie didn't perform particularly well with critics or audiences, but I guess people liked the concept enough to keep coming back and for them to make more movies where they could really invest in the lore. But for me, this movie just didn't really hit. And we've talked again, like maybe if we were watching it at a different time, we would feel differently. But for me, I've got to give the movie 2 knives out of 5. Like, didn't really care for it. Didn't think much of it was well done. Interesting concept. That's really all I can give points for.
I feel you, and I'm right there with you. I remembered liking this movie so much more the first time around. And as I said earlier, I was at the God tier of my, or the boss level of my anxiety right before this started. And this really took me to a tier that I did not know exist, a secret bonus round of my anxiety that is worse than before. And I was just mad a lot of the time during the movie. You know, Ethan Hawke dies at the end, and I like Ethan Hawke as a man and an actor. We'll get into that more in like 5 seconds, but for this movie, I'm gonna be right there with you, just because the concept is so brilliantly spot on, and I have to appreciate that, and it's created an entire world, and I'm sure people are happy about these extra films. So I'll give it a 2.1000008. Because, you know, good for you for making me so upset that there's something to be said for that. But honestly, fuck you. And I'm so mad that I ever had to watch this on night two of this never-ending election.
So I like this a little bit more. It has given me years worth of mazes at Fright Fest. I'm going to give it a 3. It's not – I enjoy the sequels. I've seen them all.
Okay.
And so this is my least favorite of the Purge movies. But without this movie, I wouldn't have the other movies. And so that's why I'm going to give it a 3.
Fair. It's fair.
Thank you.
It's fair, but I don't think I'm ever going to watch the rest of the movies. Because
I might. I might wait. Like, if you want to watch one together, I'd watch one with you, you know?
Okay, just give me, like, 2 months and ask me again, and I will have a completely different opinion than I do right now. But right now, I don't want to hear about this again until we're done posting
tomorrow,
about it.
Tomorrow, let's watch Purge Election Year.
No! Okay. So, we've come to the end of this episode. Even if you guys had more to say, I'm stopping it because I want to talk about next week's episode so bad. I've almost brought it up. I've almost spilled the beans like 15 times during this movie because unwittingly, all of the movies we have chosen so far have had like a weird chain of connection to the movie before, like Donnie Darko had Drew Barrymore. And I don't know. Oh, yes, exactly. And I don't know what this movie had to do with Donnie Darko, but that doesn't matter. We're not talking – or the Babadook. I skipped the Babadook. We don't – there's no connection there. But this one has a connection because our Lord, our Savior, Ethan Hawke, is the star of this incredible 2012 film, Sinister. And, okay, I feel like people don't know about this movie. Like, Sydney and I have strong feelings.
Chelsea's never seen it.
Yeah, I've never seen it. I am not even sure that I know like which one we're talking about, to be honest.
So don't look it up.
I was just about to click it on IMDb. Like, okay, I won't.
Don't do it. Just go in blind next week. It will be a wild ride for you.
Yes. So this is a serious reminder. You know I hate spoilers, but this is actually like the words have come out of my mouth before. I have said this is the greatest scary movie that I've ever seen, but I had not seen as many as I have now because it was 2012 and now it's 2020, so a lot has changed. But this is such a fucking good movie, so please watch it before next week's episode and go on a beautiful journey with us.
Okay, I'm excited because I kept saying that Ethan Hawke, Gattaca, whatever, which is my only other real Ethan Hawke reference point, but maybe I could be sold on Ethan Hawke other than Gattaca Ethan Hawke. This, because The Purge kind of soured me on him, gotta say.
Sinister Ethan Hawke is top tier, god tier Ethan Hawke. So get ready for it.
So that's it for us here at Spooky Tuesday this week. Make sure you go follow our social medias. We are at Spooky_Tuesday. And also, we're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. So go give us a rating and a follow. It would mean the world. Thanks, guys.
Spooky Tuesday was created by Monica Height, Sydney Thompson, and Chelsea Duff, and edited by Sydney Thompson. Our gorgeously spooky tunes are all thanks to Tamra Simons, who you can follow on Instagram at Captain Tamra, And our podcast art is by Mary Murphy, who you can find on Instagram at @the_moon_OMG.
Did you enjoy Grace's purge party, Mr. Halverson?
Fuck yourself.
Sorry, I can't hear you.
It was very nice.
Well, good. I'm glad you all had a grand time.